Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the place that takes stacks of important source material, boils them down so you walk away really understanding the core ideas. Today, we're diving into a financial philosophy that, well, it really shook things up. It's from the classic Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Our mission. Simple, really. We want you to quickly get the main financial concepts and the mindset shifts you need to see the difference between just having a job and actually building wealth. The author, Robert Kiyosaki, he starts with this amazing contrast. Two dads. His actual father, poor dad's super educated. PhD, Stanford, Chicago, all the credentials.
Right, but struggled financially his whole life. Died leaving bills behind.
And then there's Rich Dad. Never even finished eighth grade.
Yeah, barely any formal schooling.
Yeah.
But became one of the richest guys in Hawaii. Left millions.
That difference in education versus outcome, it's kind of stunning, isn't it? What's the message there?
Well, the core message, the critique in the book, is that the highly educated dad, he was playing by old rules. Rules that maybe worked 50, 100 years ago, but not anymore. So this deep dive is about why Rich Dad thought that standard advice, you know, go to school, get good grades, find a safe job, is actually old advice and bad advice if you want real financial security today.
Bad advice. That's strong.
Yeah. The argument is relying only on that traditional path leaves you, well, unprepared for today's world. Think automation, jobs disappearing, companies going under, and crucially, taxes. Huge tax burdens.
Okay, so that criticism of just get good grades, it actually hit home for the co-author, Sharon Lecter, didn't it? Back in 96.
It did. She tells this story about her son. He was completely fed up with school. Said he was bored and tired of studying.
And his argument?
Pretty simple, actually. He just said the richest people, they didn't get rich because of school.
I had examples, right?
Oh, yeah. Bill Gates famously dropped out of Harvard.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, Madonna. People making fortunes outside that standard academic track.
So the world was changing, but the advice parents gave, it was stuck in the past.
Exactly. Stuck in, like, the Industrial Revolution mindset.
Okay, let's unpack this idea Kiyosaki calls the rat race. He uses this game, cash flow, right? Like Monopoly with two tracks.
Yeah, that's the analogy. Most people, he says, are stuck on the inner track. That's the rat race.
So how does that safe, secure path turn into a trap? Walk us through it.
Well, it starts out looking good. You do well in school. You get that safe job, maybe a doctor, lawyer, something high paying. The money starts coming in.
Sounds good so far.
Right. But then, almost immediately, the spending starts. Credit cards show up in the mail. You buy the bigger house, finance the nice car.
Okay. Lifestyle inflation.
Exactly. And suddenly, you're trapped. You have to work harder and harder just to keep up, but you're not really getting ahead. Why? Because most of your money is going out to three places.
Which are?
The owners of the company you work for, the bank paying off that mortgage and credit card debt, and this is the big one, the government. Taxes.
Taxes. You hear about them, obviously, but are they really the main reason people get stuck, even high earners?
According to Kiyosaki, yeah. Taxes are often your single biggest expense. Think about it. He claims most families work from January, basically until mid-May, just to pay their taxes.
Wow, that's like almost half the year.
It's huge. And it's not just income tax. You've got Social Security, Medicare, maybe 7.65% taken from you. Then your employer matches it. That's over 15% of the value of your work gone right off the top before you even see it.
Okay, I see the trap now. You earn more, but more just flows out to others first.
Yeah, it's the rat race in a nutshell. Work hard, pay the government, the bank, the boss. Repeat.
All right, so if the rat race runs on flawed thinking, the way out has to be different thinking. Financial literacy. Rich Dad's approach was KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly. Forget complex accounting terms for a minute. His definitions were incredibly basic.
Mm.
An asset puts money in your pocket. A liability takes money out of your pocket.
In your pocket, out of your pocket. That's it.
That's the core. And that simplicity, well, it clashes hard with how most people, especially the poor dad, thought about money.
Okay, give us the big example, the controversial one, the house.
Yes, the house. Poor dad's view was totally conventional. Our home is our largest investment and our greatest asset. Sound familiar?
Yeah, that's what everyone says, but Rich Dad.
Rich Dad's view was blunt. My house is a liability, and if your house is your largest investment, you're in trouble.
Whoa, okay, that goes against everything. Why liability? It usually goes up in value, right?
It's all about cash flow, remember. Does your primary home put money in your pocket each month?
Well, no. I pay the mortgage, property tax, insurance, repairs.
Exactly. It takes money out. Constantly. Property taxes can be crippling.
Yeah.
Lecter mentioned her retired parents' taxes hit $1,000 a month. Maintenance, insurance, interest, it's a drain.
But the appreciation, if it doubles in value over 20 years.
Okay, but think about opportunity cost. All that money tied up in the down payment, the principal payments each month. What else could that money be doing?
You mean invested somewhere else?
Precisely. Invested in things that actually generate income. Rental properties, stocks that pay dividends, a business. If you took just the difference between a big mortgage payment and maybe renting somewhere smaller, and invested that difference consistently in assets, the argument is that capital would grow much, much faster than your home equity, especially after you factor in all those house expenses.
So it's not about the value on paper, it's about the monthly cash flow and what you do with your money.
That's the key, which leads to the next idea. Mind your own business.
Right. Most people focus on their job, their profession. That's their income. How do the rich think differently?
They focus on their business, which is their asset column. The book uses Ray Kroc, the McDonald's guy. Great example.
His profession was selling hamburger franchises.
Yeah, that's what he did. But his business, he famously said, "My business is real estate."
Ah, because he owned the land under the franchises.
Exactly. That land was the income-producing asset. That's what made him wealthy. The rich focus on building that asset column. Everyone else focuses on their income statement, getting a bigger paycheck to buy bigger liabilities. But look, it's not just about misunderstanding accounting. It's about human nature, psychology.
Okay. What drives this rat race behavior?
Two big emotions, according to Rich Dad. Fear and greed. Or maybe desire.
It's obvious, right? Fear of losing your job, not paying bills, the mortgage.
Definitely. That fear keeps people working hard. Often too hard. They're scared not to have that paycheck. Kiyosaki says this fear makes most people basically a slave to money. They need the money just to quiet the fear.
Okay, so fear makes you work, then the paycheck comes.
And then the second emotion kicks in, greed, or maybe just desire. You get the money, and suddenly you want things. The nicer car, the bigger TV, the fancy vacation, the toys.
Yes, you spend it.
You spend it, often on liabilities, which increases your monthly expenses. Which increases your fear of not being able to pay those bigger bills. So you need to keep working harder.
Ugh, it's a loop. Get up, go to work, pay bills.
Get up, go to work, pay bills. That's the pattern. You keep raising the bar on yourself financially, digging yourself deeper into the trap.
I remember that story from the book when the author and his friend were kids, like 9 years old. Rich Dad offered them a job for 10 cents an hour.
Yeah, cleaning his stores. Then he tempted them, offered them 25 cents. Then a dollar, then $5 an hour, which was, you know, crazy money back in the 1950s for kids.
And the point was?
The point was to see their reaction. Most people, when offered more money, just take it. They have a price driven by that fear and desire. They don't stop to think, wait, is this the best way? Am I just working for money?
So financial intelligence isn't just numbers. It's managing those emotions.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about recognizing the fear, recognizing the desire, but not letting them dictate your actions. It's about pausing, thinking, how can I make money work for me? Instead of just chasing the next paycheck like the donkey chasing the carrot dangled in front of it, you have to step back and think.
Okay, so managing emotions is key. What else? Rich Dad shifted the focus for Kiyosaki, right? From working for money to...
to working to learn. That's a huge mindset shift.
Kiyosaki didn't just chase the highest salary.
No. He actually had a good job offer lined up with Standard Oil after graduating. But he quit that path, joined the Marine Corps instead.
Why the Marines? That doesn't sound like finance.
Rich Dad told him he needed to learn leadership. Running a business requires leading people, often under pressure. The Marines taught him that.
Okay, leadership. What else?
Then later, after his service, he deliberately took a job at Xerox. Not for the pay, but because he was shy.
Xerox. For shyness.
Yeah, he needed to learn sales and marketing. He knew that was crucial for any business, and he had to overcome his fear of rejection, his shyness. He worked there for 4 years just to master that skill.
So specialized knowledge gets you a job, but broader skills build wealth.
That's the idea. Skills like leadership, sales, marketing. They build your overall financial IQ.
Okay, let's list them. What are the core technical skills for this financial IQ?
Rich Dad breaks it down into four main areas. They sound technical, but you can learn them.
First.
Accounting, or just basic financial literacy. You're going to be able to read the numbers, understand a financial statement, see the story the numbers are telling you.
Okay, second.
Investing. The science of money making money, understanding different investment vehicles, risk, return.
Third.
Understanding markets. Supply and demand, what causes prices to go up or down, spotting trends.
Yeah.
Basic economics, really.
And fourth, this sounds important.
Law, especially tax law and corporate law. knowing how to use legal structures like corporations for advantages.
Right, corporations. The book talks a lot about that. How does setting up a corporation change the game compared to just being an employee tax-wise?
It's fundamental. Really changes the cash flow.
Yep.
As an employee, you earn money.
Government takes taxes first.
Right off the top. Then you spend what's left. You get taxed on the gross.
But a corporation.
It's reversed. The corporation earns money. Then it pays all its legitimate expenses, salaries, supplies, travel, buying assets. Then it pays taxes on whatever profit is left over.
So the business spends first, then pays tax.
Exactly. And the law defines what counts as a business expense. That simple reversal lets you reinvest pre-tax dollars back into the business, accelerating growth like crazy compared to an employee saving post-tax dollars.
Wow. Okay, that's a huge difference. But managing that, setting money aside,
yeah,
it requires discipline, right? There's that rule. Pay yourself first.
Ah, yes. Controversial, but critical for the rich dad mindset.
Pay yourself before you pay your bills. Before taxes. Sounds risky. Maybe illegal.
No, it's legal, but it takes guts and intelligence. Rich dad's point wasn't about not paying bills. It was about prioritizing building your asset column. Put money there first.
Even if the bills pile up, he said, let the creditors scream.
He did. Because that pressure, that need to find money to pay the bills after you've paid yourself first, that forces you to get creative. It forces you to find new income streams, make better investments. It's like financial weightlifting.
So the pressure makes your financial muscles stronger.
Exactly. If you pay yourself last, you just rely on your job, you get weaker. Pay yourself first, you're forced to find ways to generate more money. It's motivation.
Okay, last hurdle. What about just fear of risk? Cynicism, you hear it all the time. Real estate, ugh, I don't want to fix toilets. Or stocks, too risky, I don't want to lose money.
Rich Dad called that noise, the sound of fear talking. He said, cynics criticize and winners analyze.
Meaning
focusing on the I don't wants keeps you poor and inactive. Instead of I don't want to fix toilets, the question should be, okay, how can I invest in real estate without fixing toilets? Maybe hire a property manager.
Analyze the problem, find solutions instead of just criticizing.
Right. Don't let the fear paralyze you. Think about Colonel Sanders. Turned down over 1,000 times, right? 1,009 times, apparently, before someone finally said yes to his chicken recipe. He was in his 60s. Failure, setbacks, risk. They're just part of the learning process if you're serious about getting off the rat race track. Hashtag tag outro.
Okay, so let's bring this all together. For you listening, what's the big takeaway? Financial freedom. It's not really about your paycheck size, is it?
Not primarily. It's a choice you make every day with every dollar. Mm. Are you using your money to buy assets, things that put money in your pocket, or liabilities, things that take money out?
That simple choice determines your path.
Yeah. The power is in your financial intelligence and then taking action. It's not just how much you make, it's how much you keep and how smart you are about making that money work for you.
Because money without the intelligence.
Poof. Money's soon gone. Intelligence solves problems and creates money. Money alone doesn't solve money problems.
That really hits home. Okay, let's leave you with a final thought to chew on this week. It builds on that Rich Dad idea about the psychology of giving.
Ah, yeah, that's a powerful one.
The source material says, basically, if I could leave one single idea with you, it is this. Whenever you feel short or in need of something, give what you want first and it will come back in buckets.
Give what you want first. So think about that principle, reciprocity. What could you consciously give this week? Maybe it's knowledge you have, maybe it's mentorship, maybe it's actual money or time to someone who needs it, or even just kindness.
Give first what you feel you lack.
And see what happens. See if that principle works in your own life, financially or personally. Run the experiment. What comes back?